We continue now with the Maseches Beitzah, the Apkir Chesem at Aleph. We're going to begin approximately 12 lines from the bottom of the page, where the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef Amar. Previously we've been discussing why it is that there's an Isser of Tfilas Kelim on Yom Tov. What is the reason for that prohibition? So we had seen the explanation of Rabbi. Now the Gemara is going to continue with another explanation, that of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Rabbi Yosef says, Gzeri Mishum Schita. The reason why a person cannot go ahead and be Tova Kelim on Yom Tov is because it will lead to schita. What is schita? So schita means literally to squeeze. That we're concerned that if a person has clothing that has absorbed a liquid, in this case water, and he squeezes that out, so this could be an issa deraisa. This is going to be a tolda of dush. I think we had discussed earlier in the Masechta, way back in the beginning of that phase, the concept of schita. So here there's a serious concern that it will lead to squeezing liquids out of a beggar that has absorbed liquids on Yom Tov. So it says, Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, Tinach Kelim de Bnei Schita. And into this makes sense when you're talking about Kelim that are literally Bnei Schita, meaning Kelim that are made of materials that can absorb liquid and then can then be squeezed out. However, Kelim de Lav Bnei Schita, and who, Ma'ikle Mebu, what are you going to tell me about most kalim, such as pots and pans and things like that, which are not made of any absorbent material. So what's the concern? There's no concern of schita whatsoever. So Amalei, so Rav Yossi says, Gezeira hani atu hani. You're right, that really there's no way you could be sochet, you cannot squeeze something which is not absorbent. However, since some kalim, some begadim, are made of materials that can absorb, so therefore Chazal say you cannot go ahead and be Tovel any Kalim, because it's a gezeir of these that it will lead to these. So we see that Rabbi Yosef, just like Rab in the previous Gemara, says that when it comes to Tfilas Kalim, so we see that Chazal enact this sort of second level gezeira regarding this Isser of Tfilah on Yom Tov. So it says the Gemara, Eisvei Kalhani Tiyuvta. So Abaye challenges Rabbi Yosef, just like previously he did Rabbah, right? Because when Rabbah said this previously, so Abaye went ahead and he asked a whole series of questions in which he points out that it's not true, that Chazal don't make these secondary gezeros. Vishani Leikat the Shanina, and Rabbi Yosef resolved all of them in the same way that Rabbah did earlier. The Gemara now presents another explanation as to why it is that it's also to be Tova Kelam on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yomar, Gezera Shema Yashe, that the concern over here is that what? Literally, that he might delay. In other words, if a person knows that he could be tovel kelim on Yom Tov, so he's more likely to delay the tefillah because there's no rush to do so. And with this delay, we are concerned that it may come in contact with truma, and will then go ahead and passel the truma because the truma is going to become tmeah. And the Gemara says we have a brisa which seems to support Rabbi's explanation. Tani kavaseid Rabbi klisha nitma mir of Yom Tov. If you have a keli that became tummy on Erev Yom Tov, in matvila no some Yom Tov, you cannot be tovel on Yom Tov. Why? Gezeres shem yashe, because the concern is again that a person is going to come to delay the immersion of his keli until Yom Tov, and as we said, this is going to lead to a takala. He's going to come inadvertently and use it for truma. The Gemara now presents us with a fourth explanation as to why it is that a person cannot be tovel kelim on Yom Tov. Rava Amar b'pnei shenirek mesakin kli, because immersing a keli on Yom Tov gives the appearance, it seems, as if what? You are rendering something usable, right? Because think about it. Before I'm tovel this kli, I cannot use it. It's tummy. And now, by immersing in the mikvah, suddenly it is usable. So that's a form of a tikkun. That's a tikkun. It says, Rashi, time to my season, when they shenir kemesakin kli, v'dami l'takonis malacha. It is just like what? A real tikkun, which is part of the isser, the isser of the malacha of makabe patish, and this is prohibited. V'dami l'takonis malacha, v'gazra olam idu rabbanon. This is something which is part of the gezeirus chazal, that tikkun manu, because it looks like you're going ahead and fixing something. Now we're saying over here, it looks like it, because really, the Metziah says that you're not fixing something. You're not taking a broken piece of furniture and fixing it, right? Because really, the physics haven't changed. However, halachically, you're taking something which is halachically prohibited, and you're immersing it in the mikvah, and it now becomes permissible to use. But that sort of tikkun, that sort of metaphysical change, is something which is not a real isser of tikkun mana. It's not one because the actual physical properties of this object has not changed. However, it's nearer kemesakin kli, Rebbe says it has the appearance, it looks like it, and so therefore it's aser. Says the Gemara, Yochi Adam Nami. If that's true, then a person should also not be able to immerse in the mikveh for the same reason. Because beforehand, the person is in a state of tumah, and now by going in the mikveh, so in a sense he fixes himself, right? He repairs himself through this tefillah. So says the Gemara, Adam Nira Kimekar. No, it doesn't really have the appearance. Why? Because when it comes to a person, you can say the reason why he's toveling in the mikveh is because he wants to cool himself off. Now, it may be true that really his real reason for going in the mikveh is because he's tamei. However, there may be other reasons. He may have ulterior motives as to why he wants to go into the mikveh. So when it comes to a person who goes ahead and he dips himself in the mikveh, it's no different than a person that's taking a bath and jumps in the pool. Really, it doesn't have that appearance as if he's fixing something. So says the Gemara, Tinech Mayim Yofim. This makes sense if a person goes ahead and he's tovel in a nice clean mikveh. If it's good clean water, so then fine. The person will go in there in order to cool off. But Mayim Rabim Royim Ma'ikal Neima. What do you tell me if it's bad water, right? Usually people bathe in clean water. They're not going to go ahead and bathe and cool themselves off in dirty water. A person, for the purpose of going to the mikveh, we know that a mikveh doesn't have to be clean. Hopefully a mikveh is clean, but it doesn't have to be clean. Assuming it's a kosher mikveh, it's going to have the same effect and it'll be matar the person whether it's clean or not. So says the Gemara, if you're going to tell me that when a person is told in the mikveh look like he's cooling off, that makes sense if you're talking about mayim yofim. But what about if it's mayim royim? So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, says, bottom of the page, ba'amim she'adam ba bisharav v'rochet afilu b'mei mishra. It could be that sometimes a person, it's so hot outside, and he's so desperate to cool off, so he's going to go ahead and he's going to bathe in any water, even if it's mei mishra, which means water that was used for soaking flax. The water over here is not pleasant at all. It probably smell and it's dirty, but still, a person is desperate enough, he'll do anything. And so therefore the Gemara says that when a person immerses himself, it doesn't look, it's not nirak masake. Because there could be another reason why he's going into the mikveh. Normally, a person goes ahead in clean water. Yeah, but if a person is desperate enough, he may even go in dirty water. Says the Gemara, Tinech Mosa Chama. This makes sense if we're talking about the summertime, when it's hot outside and a person wants to cool off. What are you going to tell me during the winter? In the winter, and it's not hot, so a person doesn't perspire as much. He's not going to be chalishing for a quick bath. And so therefore, it should be clear that if the person goes ahead and he's tovel in the mikveh on Yom Tov, it's clear that he's doing so. Why? Because he wants to be matir himself. In other words, we're concerned now that it's nirak misakein. So why do we not have this concern when it comes to an adam hatovel? It's only when it comes to tefilas kelim. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak pa'amim she'adam ba min asadam luchloch betir v'tzoa v'rochei tzafilu b'mosa geshamim. No, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, sometimes a person comes back from the field and he's so dirty because he was out in the field all day and he's mud all over him and he has dung all over him. And he'll be rochets even b'mosa geshamim. He'll take a bath even during the winter. Right? Today, we can relate to this because we go up inside and it's warm inside. But imagine it's freezing cold and a person has to take a bath. How desperate must he be? So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, yeah, sometimes a person is so desperate because he's so dirty that he's even going to go ahead and take a bath in dirty water even during the winter. So it says the Gemara Tinech b'Shabbos. Fine. This makes sense when it comes to Shabbos. Why? Because on Shabbos, technically, a person is permitted to go ahead and to bathe himself. There's no Issur Rechitza. What are you going to tell me on Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur, there's an Issur Rechitza. So, if you see a guy going into the mikvah on Yom Kippur, you can't say that he's doing so to cool off. You're not allowed to take a shower to cool off on Yom Kippur. You can't say that he's doing it because he's dirty, because you're not allowed to. So, what are you going to say? So, Amar Rava, Mika Mita de B'Shabbos Shari, is there anything that is permissible on Shabbos of Yom Kippur Masr, and it's going to be Asr on Yom Kippur? No. Elahol b'Shabbos Shari, since what? It's permissible to do so on Shabbos, b'Yom HaKippurim Nami Shari. So we're going to say that it's permissible to do so on Yom Kippur as well. It says Rashi over here, V'afagav the lo nir kemekar, even though on Yom Kippur it doesn't look like he's doing this to cool off, nevertheless, shelo tachmir li nimlach b'Yom HaKippurim Yishabbos. We're not going to be more machmir when it comes to melach on Yom Kippur than we are by Shabbos. And so therefore, since it's permissible on Shabbos, it's automatically going to be permissible on Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, Umiyisle, the Rava Hoel. Does Rava really say Hoel? Meaning, does he apply this concept that since we say that it's permissible to do something on Yom Tif, on Shabbos, it's permissible on other Yom Tov, in this case Yom Kippur. But Tnan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah, Hachoshesh Peshinov, that if a person's teeth hurt him, lo yigama behen es achometz, if he may not go ahead and sip or to suck on vinegar on Shabbos, aval metabel hu kadarko Vinnistrapi, nistrapi. But we can go ahead is he could dip his food in the vinegar the way he would normally do so. Vinnistrapi, nistrapi. And if this helps him, if this cures him from the pain that he's feeling, so great. The reason he can't go ahead and just rinse with the vinegar directly is because this is a form of refuah. This is treatment, medical treatment. And this is asur on Shabbos because it's a gezeirah, says Rashi, mishum shchika samamonim, shiyav melacha tochin. This is something which is prohibited on Shabbos. There are exceptions, of course, in a situation where a person is a chola, so this doesn't apply. But if a person is just in pain, but he can function, he's not a chol sheimbo sakana or something like that. He's just uncomfortable, so he cannot go ahead and do things that are done l'shem refuah. However, he can go ahead and dip his food in vinegar, even if he normally wouldn't do that, because this looks like he's eating. And v'nisrapi nisrapi, remin alah. And we see that the Gemara went ahead and raised the following contradiction. Because here we have the Brisa that says you can do it this way. The Mishnah says you can do it this way. But the Brisa says, lo yigamo polate. A person cannot go ahead and sip the vinegar and then spit it out, because that would be clear that he's doing it l'shem refuah. Aval megameo balea. But he can go ahead and sip the vinegar and then swallow it. Because sometimes people go ahead and do this before a meal. So we see clearly there's a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Brisa. The Mishnah says that a person can't go ahead and sip vinegar at all. And the Brisa says you can do so if you're going to swallow it. V'amar Abaye. Abaye says, Kitna nami masnisim megameo poletnan. So Abaye says, yeah, when it says in the Mishnah and Shabbos as well, it means that what? A person can't go ahead and sip the vinegar and then spit it out. But if he swallows it, it is okay. So that's Abaye. V'rav Amar, afilu tema megameo balea. Rava says you could even say that the Mishnah asers sipping the vinegar and swallowing it. V'lo kashya. And it's not a problem. Kan kodem tibul, that the Mishnah, which permits a person to go ahead and sip and then swallow the vinegar, that is kodem tibul, that is before the meal. But kan la'achar tibul, that this is what? After the meal. After the meal, so since this is not something that a person normally does, so it seems, based on the circumstances, that he's doing it for medical reasons, doing it for therapeutic reasons, and that's why it is asr. So now, having recorded this entire discussion with the Gemara Shabbos, the Gemara says, wait a second. Do Imisa know if it's true that Rava holds of the concept of Ho'il? Name, why doesn't Rava say as follows? Ho, the Kodem Tibul Shari, La'acha Tibul Nami Shari. Since what? It's permissible for him to swallow the vinegar before the meal, so it should be permissible after the meal. And if he says the concept of Ho'il, So that should be his ruling over there, but he doesn't, because over here we see that Rava says since it's permissible to go ahead and to be told in the mikvah on Shabbos, it's permissible to do so on Yom Kippur as well. So you see, he does hold of Ho. So which one is it? So says the Gemara, Hoda be Rava Miyahi. Rava, in fact, retracted his answer that he gave in the case of Shabbos. That he said that really what? That he gave the statement, the same explanation that Abaye gave, right? Abaye was the one who said, Megameo Pelitnan. So Abaye is one who says that an achanami, that you're only permitted to go ahead if you do it, you sit it, you sip it, and then you swallow it. So Rava retracted his reason, and it's only afterwards that Rava then goes ahead and says that we say Ho'il, since it's permissible to what? Bitovel on Shabbos, it's permissible to do so on Yom Kippur as well. It says the Gemara Mimaidahi the Meahid Hadabay, Dilma Meha Hadabay. How do you know that Rava retracted his ruling dealing with the case of vinegar, the person with the toothache? Maybe he retracted his other ruling of Ho'il, that which he said that since a person could be tovel on Shabbos, he could do so on Yom Kippur as well. So says the Gemara, Lo Sukkah Daitoch. No, you shouldn't say that. Why the Tanya? Because we have a brayso which says, Kol Chayvei Tfilos Tovlin Kedarkon, Bein B'Tisha B'Av, Bein B'Yom HaKippurim. Because we have a brayso that tells us anybody who requires tefillah can do so in a normal manner on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. In other words, we have an explicit brisa that tells us it's permissible to go ahead and be tovel in the mikvah on Yom Kippur, and so therefore Rava uses the explanation that we had previously seen. Ho'il, since it's permissible to be tovel in the mikvah on Shabbos, so it's permissible to do so on Yom Kippur. And since we see that Rava maintains this particular position, so it must be he retracted his other position in the discussion in Maseches Shabbos.